I am so excited to be home. We missed you guys while we were on vacation. But if I'm being honest, we didn't miss this weather. The good news is that we've brought some warm weather with us. Now, it's just a couple days behind, but it's on the way. And so, guys, we are just so thankful for the opportunity to just step away and to spend time together as family. And I tell you what, when you don't have to have a conversation about what's for supper for the entire week or who's making lunch or who's doing this, you're spoiled. And we've made one meal since we got home, I think, maybe two. We're trying to figure out how to do life again. It's we've forgotten all sense of responsibility from being on a cruise. And anyways, we're thankful for the opportunity. And so for the last 2 weeks, Scott Collier, our previous pastor, has shared from this pulpit, and he launched our series All In. And today we jump into the third week. And it's always interesting to me how the Lord makes things line up. And Tim and I have been teaching adult Sunday school, and I kind of knew in the back of my mind that today was my day to teach Sunday school, but wasn't really in my mind that I needed to prepare for Sunday until, like, this morning. I was like, oh yeah, I should probably get that read and make sure I know what I'm talking about this morning. And as communication goes, sometimes those things are missed, and I didn't want it to be missed. And it's amazing to me how the Lord brings about conversations and just topics throughout other things that relate to the message. And so, well, what does that mean? What are you talking about, Mike? Well, if you weren't there, download Bible Engagement Project and go look at week 7.1, All In, or Stand Firm, rather. But it talks about the fellowship. And so today, that's what we're going to dive into. We're exploring how to be all in, or devoted to fellowship. How do we be all in on fellowship? And today we're going to answer that question. We're going to answer two. How can I be devoted to fellowship? And how can we do life together? Two very important questions that need to be answered. And before we dive into that, we need to clarify first what is meant by the word devoted. And the Greek word for devoted, it means to be steadfastly attentive or unwavering. Steadfastly attentive or unwavering. See, fellowship is more than just being friendly with other Christians. It means being devoted to each other, fully committed to one another, walking through life together, and helping each other grow in faith. Without that last part, what you have is a friendship. Fellowship helps others grow in the faith. But do you know that true fellowship starts with Jesus? See, we must first be devoted to Him before we can be devoted to each other. Without Jesus, we're just a group of people meeting up today. But with Him, we are a family who's been saved by grace, who is united in His love, and each called to something greater. That was a good spot for an amen. If you've got your Bible this morning, open it with me to Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. This is going to be our scripture for the next several weeks. And so, if I forget to tell you what scripture to open up to, you will already know it. Acts 2, 42 through 47. And this scripture is known as kind of the template for what the early church was, who they were and what they did. And so let's jump in. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. I would submit to you today that the early church lived in a way that we would consider radical. But they lived in such a way that it was also life-giving. So they lived in a radical and life-giving way. And so I have posed three questions to answer today. I'm using them as my points, but there's three questions that beg to be answered in this. Because if we read this, we could easily say, well, I'm too busy, or that won't work anymore, or this, that, you know, the whole list of excuses. It's easy to come up with excuses, right? Right? Okay. So here's the three questions, three points that we have today. The first one is this. How do we do life together today? Because things have certainly changed since the early church. We have cars. We have phones. We have social media. We have this nice big building. When was the last time that you had a small group of people, not a small group, but a small group of people come to your house and break bread? When was the last time you opened your house to somebody in the church? Because that's what the early church did. Every day they were together and they broke bread together. So I remember, and if we go back and let's just talk about the importance here of fellowship. I remember the importance of fellowship as a new believer. If you've been here for any amount of time, you know that I've been here for a long time. 2008, October 2008 was one of the first Sundays that I stepped into this church. And fellowship as a new believer was vitally important. Being part and active with other believers. So when I first came here, we had a very vibrant young adult presence in this church. Those who had just come out of youth group and they had graduated and they were still attending as life was getting figured out in college and all of that. And so there is a good group of young adults here. I made sure that I was spending as much time with them as I could. At that time, I lived in Sigourney. No, I don't have any idea where I lived. Hang on. Pella? My wife knows, and she wasn't even there. Apparently, I lived in Pella, and I did live in Pella, yes. I just remember, I'm sorry. The one night I remember driving, I went and had supper with my grandparents and dad in Sigourney, and I remember Sean reaching out and saying, hey, we're hanging out at the youth parsonage, and I drove all the way back up to New Sharon to hang out with them because it was on the way to Pella. Eventually, to the point where I moved to New Sharon. I lived in the youth parsonage because that's where Scott Meyer lived at the time. That's where Jordan Good lived at the time, or Jaron Good lived at the time. And that's where all the kids come and hung out at. That's where all the young adults were at every Sunday after church. And so I wanted to be around those that I wanted to be like. Did you hear that? It's important to hear that. I wanted to be around what I wanted to become. So as a new believer in Jesus, should I not want to be around somebody who has a relationship with Jesus? Or do we let the blind lead the blind? So I truly believe that connecting and fellowshipping with that young adult small group, it wasn't a small group, but it was a small group, helped my faith grow strong to the point that I can say it had an impact to get me to where I am here before you today. So this shows that just that example of being, but it shows why fellowship is crucial for everyone. Would you know that it's just as important for the believer of 10 years as it is for the believer for 10 minutes? Because fellowship is a transaction, if you will. Let's put it in a transactional term. Fellowship is an investment to bring us closer to God. So if fellowship is a transaction, It's plus and minus from the two parties. Not only does it encourage and bring up the faith of the new believer, it strengthens and deepens the faith of the believer for 10 years. So we must submit that fellowship is crucial for each one of us. And when we find ourselves intentionally surrounding with people who will encourage us and help us focus on Christ, to answer life's tough questions, to go through the things that are happening with us, it helps us grow closer to Christ. It helps our faith grow. So we must be deliberate. We must be intentional when it comes to surrounding ourselves with believers. And listen, this isn't just new believers. You could be a believer of 50 years in here today, but maybe there's a believer of 30 years who might bring some light into your relationship and help you as well. Remember, it's transactional. And so, are we willing to deliberately surround ourselves with fellow believers in this church who will challenge and uplift us? Are we willing to say, you know what? You're worth pouring into, or you're worth spending time with, because I feel uplifted when I leave from being with you. I feel challenged, or I appreciate the years of wisdom. There is something that age cannot... I don't even know how I want to say this. Age brings wisdom. Who can testify? When you've lived a life of many years, you've made a lot of good choices. You've made a lot of bad choices. There's been a lot of life lived, and there's been a lot of life experience. And what does experience bring? Wisdom. There's something to be said about sharing wisdom and being around those that can uplift you. But if we were to look at the easy excuse, when you start hearing about, well, pastor's saying I've got to invite somebody over to my house, he doesn't know how busy my life is. Listen, everybody's busy. In today's world where we have unlimited access to anything and everything at all times, life is simply busy. Busier than ever. But I would submit to you that life was busier for the early church than it is for us today. They didn't get weekly paychecks and all the things. They worked every day. When we look at when they were calling the workers to the field, and some started at 9 in the morning and some at 9 at night, they all got paid their day's wages, the same amount. Who knows what I'm talking about? They had to go work for their food. They had to go out into the market. They had to do about. They didn't have cars. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have social media. I would submit to you that they had to be... Now, maybe they weren't as busy as we are when it comes to the things that we're busy about, but they were busy and they still found time to be with the fellow believers every day. So I get it. Life is busy. It's busier than ever. And would you know that even though this as connected as we are as a world, would you know that there are people sitting here today that say, you know what, Pastor, I feel isolated. Even though all of this is happening, I sit here today feeling isolated. I don't feel like I'm connected. And sometimes that's because we choose to, because, well, we can see everything we need on social media. Back in the day, when you came home from a vacation, what did you do? Or what we did, you met with family, and they showed you their printed 3x5 pictures from their film of their vacation. Kids, you'll never understand that unless you have grandparents, I'm sure. Now, today, what do? We post it on Facebook. And then you look at it, and you leave a little like or a heart or you comment and say, oh, that looked fun. What connection did you and I just have? None. So social media can give us all the information we want, can make us feel like we are part of somebody's family, but at the same time leave us sitting here completely disconnected, feeling like we don't have that belonging, feeling like we're isolated. And I will submit to you today that social media is not true connection. Being active in some, just because you know what's happening in someone's life, because you saw their pictures, does not mean you are connected to them. Okay? So we must prioritize our relationships. We must choose what we're going to put priority on. And the simple answer is, listen, join our events. I know that we don't do a bunch of events every other weekend or every month or even every other. We have a few events throughout the year. Guess what? Join them. A great time to connect with somebody outside of the Sunday morning service who has plans after lunch today that you need to be out of the church and home to go about your plans. Anybody? Joel, he's the only one. We can go all afternoon then. I have people coming over for lunch, but outside of that, like we can wait. You guys are here. We can chill until we get hungry. We'll be here all afternoon, right? But generally, we find ourselves so busy that we're like, gosh, pastor's taking forever. It is 11:03. Holy cow, and I'm not even through my first point yet. I got to get back on here. So join our events outside of Sundays. When the church does something, guess what? Be part of it. Because other people are going to be part of it. And guess what? That builds relationship. Okay? And then invite people over for meals regularly. Invite somebody over to your house. Sure, you might have to clean your house. Sure, they might overstay their welcome. Sure, it might be awkward because they got to see where I live or how it looks or what it looks like or how I present. Maybe they're going to critique my cooking. Maybe they're going to laugh that I bought baked beans today in a container instead of making my own baked beans. Listen, I don't care. We're going to spend time together. That's the point. So I've got some questions. Or the other thing we can do as well is we can serve together in the church. We can serve the body together. If somebody's doing something and you want connection, guess what? Maybe you should sign up for the same serve team. Ta-da! That fixes it, doesn't it? Because now you're serving together. I'm excited to be back. Can you tell? But if the early church met every day, it leaves us asking the question of how can we deepen our commitment to each other today? And I've got four questions that I want to pose to you today that should really pull out how we're feeling or how we're thinking about this. I don't want open-air answers. You need to answer this as between you and God, okay? First one is this. Who are the people in your life that truly encourage and push you toward Christ? If you're struggling to come up with the name, you should find somebody who is willing to partner with you. Second question. We say we're too busy, but what are we really busy with? Let me pose it this way. Are the things you're busy with eternal? The third one, have you been waiting for someone to reach out to you instead of stepping out and building fellowship yourself? If everybody's just going to wait on everybody else, we're just going to be a lot of awkward Andrew standing in corners by herself just waiting for somebody to come say hi to us. We can do another 60-second greeting if that would help. Willing to do two a Sunday if we need to. But sometimes we have to be the one to reach out, to make that connection, and to start that process. The fourth question is, the early church met daily. What would it look like for us to deepen our commitment to each other today? I already asked that, but that's the final question on this point. What does it look like today? How can we do that today? How can we deepen our commitment to one another in this body today? Let's go on to our second point. Or our second question, why is fellowship so important? Why is fellowship important? Can I be real with you? Like, it's PG-13, but can I just be real? Not as a complaint, but as raw and honest truth. As your pastor, I need you to know that I struggle with isolation. I know what it's like to struggle with isolation, especially in ministry. And your first reaction to hearing that might be, how can pastor feel isolated when he's constantly surrounded by people? But the reality is it happens. It does happen. And here's why. And this isn't an exhaustive list. This is just a few items that I put down. As a pastor, understand that there's a pressure to always carry myself well. I understand that I live in a glass box. My parenting is judged based off of how my kids behave during church or out in the community or at the school. I'll tell you the truth, the first couple of years when Caden was struggling with his seizures and we didn't know they were seizures yet, I was embarrassed as a parent because I thought, what is happening with my kid and I have no control over this. And everybody at the school knows I'm a pastor of this church and they're judging. So I always have to carry myself well. I always have to have the right answer. To always be able to hear the needs and concerns of each one of you. And listen, this is not a complaint. I cannot stress this is not a complaint. Just bear with me for a second here. I always have to be available to hear the needs and concerns of others. But sometimes that means that no matter what I'm facing or what my family is facing, I am on call for you 24/7 while knowing nobody is on call for us 24/7. It's not that I don't love this church, because I do. I hope that you know that I love each and every one of you. It's not that I don't have joy in serving. I do. But there are burdens that I carry that you don't see. There's burdens that I carry that you will never know. There are struggles that I can't share. There are struggles that my family is facing that I can't share. There are things that I come home from a hard day of work that I can't tell my wife what's happening, because she doesn't need to carry that burden. And yes, I knew what I was stepping into when I said yes to God's calling on my life. But understand this, it doesn't make it easy. So here's why fellowship is important. It matters not just for pastors, but for every believer in here today. No one, underline that, put it on a note, I don't care what you do, no one is meant to face life alone. Amen. God did not design us to do life alone. Amen. We are not solo passengers running and living free and wild like they do in Alaska. That we're watching a show that's they're all living in the freezing cold and living and only by themselves. God did not call us to be isolated. And did you know that isolation is risky for everyone? Here's why. Because the enemy wants you to feel isolated, because you are weaker when you are alone than you are with somebody else. You are weaker. The worst isolation, though, is not from people. The worst isolation is isolation from God. See, sin separates us from Him, which is why we took time before communion this morning to search our hearts, to take time to pray, to be right with the Lord. But here's the promise. Here's what we just celebrated. Jesus came to bring us back. He came to bring us back. He came to make a way for us. He came so we would be forgiven. He came so we could walk with Him and to belong forever in His family. See, Hebrews 10, it tells us, it encourages us to come together. In fact, it says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together. We need each other. We need each other. We need people to walk with us. We need people to pray with us. We need people to support us when we feel alone or overwhelmed with whatever life is throwing at us. Without that, this is when isolation steps in. This is when, with that lack of support, isolation comes in. Loneliness creeps in. even in a crowded room. So isolation does happen. And many of us can understand this feeling. There's some of you sitting here today that would say, Pastor, I feel isolated. Maybe you're carrying a burden that others don't see, that others won't know. It might be work stress, it might be family problems, or it's just the weight of everyday life. You may feel like you have to manage it all by yourself, but here is the truth. You don't have to. You do not have to manage the stress and all of it but by yourself, because God did not intend for you to do it alone. He did not intend for you to walk through this life without people to partner with you. This church is not just a place that we attend. It is a family that we belong to. Ken is awake. Is anybody else? The church is not a place we attend. It's a family we belong to. And we must commit to fellowship. We must commit to doing life together to experience the fullness of what God intended for our church. Having Christian mentors to talk to pray with, to seek advice from, this makes the world a difference for me. I realize there's things that I can't share in this church, I can't say to people, because one, I know everybody's business, because everybody tells me their business, and it would be a gross violation to share that with somebody else. And sometimes there's things that I've seen, I've experienced. I remember my first week in the church Jerry's not with us today, but when Jerry's son Robert was dying, I was in the room when he took his last breath. And I walked out of that room and I said, Lord, why on the first day of my job? I reached out to a couple, I said, I don't know how to process this. They don't give you a manual for how to process this. There's not a policy book for what to do when somebody comes up and complains about this or says this or does this. But it's better to talk than it is to internalize, because what does internalizing do? It leads to isolation. I think of the song by 10th Avenue North, No Man is an Island. Go find it. Go listen to it. You'll appreciate the context of it. But we are not islands. We are not meant to be separated from each other. So fellowship, it does this. It offers accountability. It offers encouragement. And it also gives us spiritual protection. Now understand that fellowship is more than exchanging pleasantries when you see somebody. It's more than just smiling and saying good to see you. It's about having a genuine interest, care, and concern for others. So, four more questions. You ready? Who really knows what you're going through? Or to also say, are you unknowingly isolating yourself? Who knows what you are going through as an individual or family? Second question, when life gets hard, do you have someone who will pray with you and for you? When life gets hard, do you have somebody who will pray with you and for you? The third one, if someone in this church was struggling, would they feel safe opening up to you? If a fellow brother or sister in Christ was struggling in this church, would they feel safe opening up to you? The fourth one, are you truly devoted to fellowship, or is it just something you do when it's convenient? Are you truly devoted to fellowship, or is it something we do out of convenience? The third and final question to answer today. If we know fellowship is important, which we just heard, what changes do we need to make? Many of you will remember, some of you are new and you'll have no context for this. Several years ago, we had a fiberglass mattress blow up in our house. Does anyone remember that? I do. The mattress broke apart and released fiberglass into the air throughout our house, on all of our furniture, our carpet, all over the house. Our insurance refused to help us. We called insurance and they said, "No, there's no item in your insurance to cover that. You're on your own." They proceeded to send out two insurance agents to come inspect to see how bad it was. And before they came into our house, I remember watching them from the patio door. They stopped and they took pictures of the tree at the west end of the house and on the west end of the garage. And just because I come from the car business, I know how insurance works when it comes to autos and what they will and won't cover and how they try not. Like, they're just taking pictures for information later that if a limb falls out of the tree and breaks the roof, they're not going to cover it because they're going to say the trees weren't trimmed to their expectation. Like, they made a little field trip to my house to find more reasons to not cover us. Now, maybe that's just me blowing it out of proportion, but that's exactly how I took it. But they came and they basically smiled at us in their fancy suits, their bling on their fingers because, you know, they make good money and just said, "You're on your own. There's nothing we can do to help you." And so as a family, Alicia and I felt stuck. We were overwhelmed by such a big problem. We weren't prepared to handle such a problem. And here's what, our church stepped in. Many of you were here. You'll remember this. You stepped in. People showed up to help us at the house. People opened their homes for our kids to go and play and have fun. They took our kids shopping. They did things to help our kids. Many of you supported us. Many of you helped us. And this church ensured that we were able to get back into our home. Galatians chapter 6 verse 2, carry each other's burdens and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. This church stepped up and they carried our burden. This is similar to what the early church did in Acts 2:44-45. It tells us that they shared everything they had. They sold and they shared. Fellowship is not just about attending church or enjoying our coffee and cinnamon rolls together on Sunday mornings, which that's a great spot to start. Don't get me wrong, if you're not coming, please start coming, and then you can walk into the Sunday school room with us as well. But it's about being there for each other in meaningful ways. As Arvin said this morning in our Sunday school, sometimes you have to take care of the physical first. The physical need is the priority. And so we carry each other's burdens. Jesus, in fact, he showed us this by being close to us. He walked with us. He shared meals with us. He gave his life for us. And true fellowship means loving and serving others just as Jesus loved and served us. So we are called to carry each other's burdens. And sometimes that means we strap up and we walk alongside somebody. This means that we need to be more than just Christians who attend church on Sundays. It means that we must actively love, serve, and care for one another. We must carry each other's burdens. Four questions for you. Who in this church needs help? And have you noticed? Are you paying attention to the needs around you? Who in this church needs help, and have you noticed? Second question, are you the kind of person that others can count on in times of need? Or let's rephrase it and ask it this way, would someone call you if they were struggling? The third, are you treating fellowship as a consumer or a contributor? Do you come to receive or serve? The fourth is this, what is one intentional step that you can take this week to invest in deeper fellowship? Who will you check on? Who will you invite? Or who will you serve this week? This is our call to be all in. This is the charge to be all in. In Christ's church, guess what? Fellowship isn't optional. It's essential. Fellowship isn't optional. It's part of being all in for Jesus, just like the early church. This isn't just about attending on Sunday mornings. It's about being fully devoted to God, being fully devoted to one another, being fully devoted to the mission that He has called us to. This is why here at Engage Church, our mission is clear: engaging our community for Jesus. But do you know that we can't engage our community for Jesus if we're not first engaged with each other? If we're not engaged with each other, we have no business going outside to try to engage with others. The early church devoted themselves to fellowship, and because of that, the Lord added to their number daily. Doesn't say that the church grew, that the pastor preached a really good sermon, or the communion was just up my alley and how I like it, or the lights were too dark, or they were flickering, or the stage is dark, or whatever. Because the saints were faithful in their devotion and the things they were doing, the Lord added to their number daily. Who here desires for the Lord to add to New Sharon's numbers daily? If we want to see lives transformed in our town, we must first be devoted to doing life together in a way that reflects Christ Jesus. Stacy, if you want to come on up here. The world is watching. When they see a church that truly loves one another, when they see a church that serves one another, when they see a church that does life together, guess who they ultimately see? Jesus. They see Jesus. But let me be clear. Fellowship is not just a Christian word. It's not a fun Christian word that we throw around. A lot of times, fellowship is taking place of like names of our fellowship hall, because that's where fellowship happens. Or we're going to have a fellowship potluck after service. It's not a noun. It is a verb. Fellowship is an action. It's not a place that we go. It's a thing that we do. So fellowship isn't just a fun Christian word. It's not a side benefit of our faith. It's God-ordained. Fellowship is God-ordained, and we don't get to treat it like it's an option. It's essential. It's crucial. It's required to be able to have that strong faith, that strong relationship. The early church didn't think that fellowship was The early church didn't just think fellowship was a good idea. They were devoted to it. They were all in on fellowship. It was a priority. It was not a preference. It was a way of life, not an occasional event put on by the church. So the question today isn't, do I need fellowship? Because I think we can all leave here today and saying we know we need fellowship. So if the question isn't, do I need it? The question is, am I truly devoted to it? Am I truly devoted to fellowship? Am I living in a real biblical community? Am I walking alongside others in faith? Am I helping carry their burdens? But then am I also allowing them to help carry mine? And maybe for some of you, the real question isn't any of that. Maybe the question is this: am I in fellowship with Jesus? See, before you can be devoted to others, you need to first be connected and devoted to Christ Jesus. If we say we want to be a church that reflects Christ, then we must be all in for one another. If we want to see the power of God move in our church like it did in Acts, like it did in the early church, then we must take fellowship as seriously as they did. It's time to stop treating fellowship as a suggestion and start living like it's a God-given assignment, because church it is. The world doesn't need another church full of disconnected people. The world needs to see a church that is truly devoted to one another, a church that doesn't just meet together on Sundays, but a church that does life together. My question for you today is, will you be that kind of believer? Will you be that kind of church? The choice collectively is ours. What will your choice be today? Will you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning? Maybe today, as you hear this message, you realize you're not just lacking fellowship. You're lacking a relationship with Jesus Himself. Maybe this morning you're sitting here, you feel isolated, you feel disconnected, not just from people, but from God Himself. There's no amount of friendship, there's no amount of church services that can replace that most important relationship of all, and that is the one with Christ Jesus. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrates His love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Listen, Jesus didn't wait for us to be perfect. He gave His life so that we could be perfect, that we could be saved. If you've never made the decision to follow Jesus, today is your day. Today you have that opportunity. You don't have to live life disconnected from God. You do not have to live life isolated from Him. He is calling you into a relationship with Him this morning. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if that is you this morning, I want to invite you to take that step today. Right now, in this moment, with every head bowed, if you know that you need Jesus, would you just raise your hand? No one's looking around. No one's watching. This is between you and God. Would you raise it this morning as a sign that you're saying yes to Jesus today? Amen. And as we come to a close today, I want to make sure everybody knows that this message is for all of us. This message is for everyone. Some of us, some of you, need to make a commitment today, not just to Jesus, but also to His church. Maybe you've been attending church, but you haven't truly engaged with it. Know that there's a difference between attending and engaging. You might be keeping to yourself. Maybe you're first out the door when I dismiss service because it's just awkward to stand around and have people look at you but not sure if they can come talk to you or not. God wants each of us to connect with others. He wants us to be united as a body. So here's my challenge for you today. Fellowship isn't just something that we talk about. It's something that we need to commit to. My question to you this morning is, if you know you need to go deeper in relationship or in fellowship, if you need to reach out and invest in relationships, if you need to be all in for our church family, then don't leave today without making a commitment before God, without taking a step today. And here's what those steps might be. The first one might be to invite someone over for coffee this week. Invite somebody out to go for coffee. That step might be praying with somebody before you leave here today. Maybe you find somebody that you wouldn't normally pray with or interact with. Maybe you should today. Maybe you should. That step might be finding someone to walk with you in faith. Maybe that's somebody that you can partner with. But don't leave here today without making this decision to be all in for fellowship. And in fact, if that's you today, if you feel a tug as I'm talking, I want to invite you to take a stand as a sign of your commitment to a deeper fellowship with others in this church. If that's you today, would you just stand as a declaration to say, I am committed to deeper fellowship in this body of Christ? Is there anybody here who would stand to that today? And don't stand just to stand. Stand because it's in response to what the Lord is calling you to. stand because the Lord has said in your heart as I'm sharing this message, I'm talking to you today. If you just look around the room, there's a group of believers who have stood and have said, I am willing to take that stand. I am willing to have deeper fellowship with the body of Christ. So guess what? Maybe you should go pray for somebody who's standing today. Maybe they should come pray for you. Why should I have to go pray for them? They need to come pray for me. Listen, if we're all just waiting for everyone else, we're just waiting eternally. Let's take that step of faith today. Amen. If you're standing this morning, would you just raise your hand? Let's just close in a prayer together. Let's raise our hand in agreement as we ask God to help us, to help our church, to help us as individuals, to be devoted all in to one another as we seek to engage our community for Jesus. Heavenly Father, Lord, right now I just pray for a blessing to fall upon those who have stood and said, Lord, we are devoted to deeper fellowship in this church. We are willing to go above and beyond. We're willing to take that time. Lord, I pray that when it becomes a struggle, when it becomes hard, when life happens and wants to pull us, Lord, let us not forget the fellowship with one another. Lord, I pray that you would empower us to speak life into each other, to encourage one another. Lord, to take time to pick up the phone and to call and say, I'm really struggling right now. I need your help. Lord, that we could take that moment and we can pray through the power of the Holy Spirit to intercede and to interact on that person's behalf. Lord, help us to find relationships today that would challenge us, that would help us to grow, to lead others deeper in their relationship, by the same time helping lead us into a deeper relationship. Lord, would you bring unity in this church like there has never been before? Lord, would you bring fellowship in this church like there never has been before? And Lord, let this be the day that we see that you, the Lord, start adding to our numbers every day. Lord, would you bring empowerment, encouragement to those today who have stood and made this declaration? And Lord, would you give each of us wisdom? Would you give each of us the ability, Lord, to work on the Great Commission while we're out and about? But Lord, it brings us together as a church as we serve to engage our community for Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We worship you this morning. In Jesus' name, everyone said.
May you be blessed this week. We're going to sing the song of Every Hour. And this is just our prayer as we go out, that this week, may we just love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen. But also love our neighbor. Let's love each other well. God bless this week.